Today on More to Life, don't tread on me. Tired of being a doormat? We'll help you stand tall, speak up, and gracefully assert your dignity as a son or daughter of God. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our home.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, don't tread on me. Are you tired of being a doormat? You know, we want to help you stand tall, speak up, and gracefully assert your dignity as a beloved son or daughter of God. What does that look like? Well, let's talk it out this hour at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And very few of us feel like we're a doormat, at least till it's been going on for a very long time. But we can feel really worn out by the expectations and the treatment that we get from people in our lives. It doesn't have to be all people. It could be that one person that sort of always counts on you to be their sounding board, always counts on you to do the stuff they don't want to do or carry their emotional load for them. Is there somebody who's sort of wearing you out? Maybe even because not only are you a nice person, not only are you a good person, but they see you as a Christian person, and they feel, therefore, you should be carrying their cross instead of them. That you should be able to go many extra miles to help them. And while we are all called to help bear one another's crosses, we are also called to work for the good of other people in healthy, good ways that helps them become everything they're supposed to be, and also allows us to become everything we're supposed to be in all of our relationships. So if there's one particular person that is sucking up your time, your emotional energy, is diminishing your ability to even go deeply spiritually into other situations because you're dealing with them constantly, or what feels like constantly, well, let's talk about it today so that you can be everything God's calling you to be in the situation, but also be able to be there for yourself and the other people that God is calling you to serve. We're here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Do you have someone in your life who's maybe a little hurtful, thoughtless, or disrespectful? Maybe you wonder what setting a charitable, healthy boundary would look like with that person. Maybe you've struggled with the idea that setting boundaries is somehow unchristian or unloving. Maybe you find yourself doing or saying things you don't really think or feel just to keep the peace. And those are some examples of times when we might need to set a healthy, charitable boundary. But what does that actually look like in your situation? Well, let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. And, you know, this weekend I actually had to set a boundary with somebody that I care about very much, but who was really kind of taking advantage. You know, she's going through a little bit of a hard time, and, you know, I really do feel for her. But because she was upset, she was kind of taking it out on me.
Massively taking
and
it
so,
out on
me. And so, you know, I needed to let her know, look, I am here for you, and I do care about you, but, you know, there are certain things that you need to do before I can actually help, or there are certain things that you're asking me that I can't do, but that another person that I kind of pointed her toward could actually help her with, that she didn't want to go talk to that person, though, for whatever reason. And so, you know, I had to be very clear that while I really am, while I really appreciate how upset and how frustrated she is about the situation she's in, I there were certain things that I just couldn't do that she was asking, because I literally don't know how to do it. And that there were other people who could be there to help her with this. And she got frustrated with me at first, but after we talked and I was able to reassure her, she was able to go to that person. She actually got the help that she needed, and things were restored. But I had to set that boundary instead of doing exactly what she wanted the way she wanted it when she wanted it, because you know, there was just no way that was going to work or that I was even available.
Well, let's parse this out just a little bit more, because I think a lot of our listeners will really appreciate and get this, which was, you were the one on the battlefield of this thing. She called you. But I also knew how frustrated you were in the situation, because again, it was not something you could actually help with at the time. And I know,
or
I
like
was,
at all, because I really didn't
truly,
know what to do. I
mean, truly. But I was going through the torn feelings of, A, how do I help you so you don't have to deal with it all? And B, how do I help her? And I was I kicked into that, I just have to make everybody comfortable mode that so many of us do as Christian people, as people who care about other people. We feel torn. And so you and I really parsed this out and went back to the principles we're teaching now about how to really work for the good of another person, how to be there for them in a way that's supportive and effective, but not tearing down of the other people in the relationship that would have to put things into this. That, you know, it takes some figuring out. So even we spent several hours this weekend just kind of praying through and talking through, how do we do this in a way that's godly and works for everyone's good in the situation? Every situation's different,
yeah.
And it can feel very heart-tugging and confusing to figure it out.
You know, and I think that we all have kind of a reactive response where maybe we want to swoop in and try to fix the thing, even though we really don't know what we're doing and can't all actually be helpful. You know, well, I just want to be there because that's what this person needs. And then we end up making it worse, right? You know, I mean, so by setting the boundary that I did, I was able to be compassionate. I was able to be emotionally present, but I was able to kind of redirect her to the people that could help. And once she calmed down, she went to them and got the help that she needed. And if I'd done what she asked me to do, it wouldn't have solved anything, because I literally did not know what to do about the situation. You know, and so we all have to kind of check that emotional response we have, whether that's to shut somebody down because we just don't. You know, they're obnoxious and we don't want
to
be there.
Let's be honest.
Or, you know, we have that emotional reaction where, well, we just have to go and be there even though I'm not going to be helpful or maybe would make things worse. It's all healthy boundaries are all about determining how I can actually be helpful and be there for that person. Every day on More to Life, though, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, how can some, you know, theology help me set better boundaries with people? Well, I'm glad you asked. So here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, you know, if we took everything God gave us, you know, scripture, salvation history, creation, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for our flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that good boundaries aren't barriers to love and mercy. They're actually expressions of it. They support each person's ability to love others in rightly and ordered ways. Being merciful means treating others in a manner that reminds them of their dignity and worth as children of God. Setting good boundaries can actually be an act of mercy because they remind us to do that.
In fact, when somebody's being hurtful, failing to set appropriate boundaries is actually unmerciful because it enables them to do harm. You know, so St. Paul writes in Galatians 6:1, quote, "If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." You know, he's talking about boundaries there, you know, and it's not a punishment. It's about restoring the right order in relationships and inviting each person to grow in holiness. So in the case of the offender, boundaries call them to repent. And in the case of the offended, boundaries empower them to stand up for what's true and just and loving.
St. John Paul II taught that authentic love never treats another person as a means to an end, but always affirms them as a person willed by God for their own sake. Boundaries affirm our dignity as persons. They say, "I won't let you treat me or yourself in a way that undermines who God made us to be."
Of course, the theology of the body also reminds us that being made in God's image and likeness, we were created for communion and to be generous to others. But just like the Trinity is one God in three persons, we're called to pursue unity with others while still honoring our individuality. You know, healthy boundaries protect our God-given distinctness and dignity.
Boundaries give each of us the space we need to thrive within our relationships. They allow us to stop worrying about protecting ourselves from each other so that we can genuinely and generously give ourselves to each other.
So we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 on our show titled "Don't Tread on Me." We're talking about setting boundaries and how to set them charitably. Do you have somebody in your life who is being kind of hurtful or thoughtless or disrespectful to you, making demands that you really can't meet? Do you wonder what setting a charitable, healthy boundary would look like in a particular relationship? Maybe you've struggled with the idea that setting boundaries is somehow unchristian or unloving. We want to help you set boundaries that actually let your relationships and you thrive. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, your servant St. John Paul reminded us that being made in your image and likeness means that just like you are Trinity, and that you are one God in three persons, we are called to pursue unity with others while still acknowledging each other's individuality. So help us to set those boundaries that allow us to be there for others without losing ourselves entirely. Help us to be generous in ways that are actually healthy and helpful. And help us to know how to set boundaries that protect our dignity and the dignity of others, that call those who offend us to repentance, but enable us to stand up for what's true and what's just and what's loving in all the things that we do, so that we can build your kingdom by working with your grace to heal the damage that sin does to all of our relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled "Don't Tread on Me," as we talk about setting healthy boundaries in all of our relationships, especially those that are a little, let's say, complicated. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina.
Hi, Lisa in North Carolina. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I had questions about setting boundaries in a Christian way with your spouse. My husband is a good man, but we both work. We have four children, and I am, and he does help some with cleaning around the house, like taking out the trash and things like that. But I'm the one who's in charge of the house, all the activities with the kids, all the doctor's appointment, and our social schedule, which gets to be an issue of a lot of conflict because a lot of the social activities that we've plan evolve around the kids or other people who have kids, and my husband often is very, very disappointed with it. He also struggles with a little bit of an alcohol use disorder, And so a lot
an
of
alcohol use disorder, Lisa, that's an interesting verbiage. Can you want to define that a little bit here?
So he does not have to drink every day, but when he does drink, he will drink heavily.
Okay.
You know, 5 to 8 beers. And so... Mm-hmm.
And how frequently is that happening, Lisa? Every weekend? A few nights a week? What's the deal there?
A few nights a week. So usually on the weekends. And that's why, like, when our social calendar does not evolve around beer, and the counselor that I see has told me that it should not, as kind of a protective thing for him, because he doesn't see that he has a disorder, and it does change who he is when he is drinking, because he's more rude, he's more disrespectful.
But even when he's not drinking,
he's checked out.
He's checked out completely. He's not helping with the house, he's not helping with the kids, he goes to work, he comes home, and everything else is up to you. Is that correct?
Mostly. Like, he'll take out the trash, and he will, of course, watch the kids while I take a shower or something like that.
I mean, that's nothing, Lisa. I gotta,
that's bare minimum. You know, see, I mean, that's something a 6-year-old can do.
Yeah. So let me ask. So how can we help you today? There's obviously a lot of big issues here in the relationship.
One of the things is, so when he shuts down, he will refuse to go to mass. Because he's disappointed or upset about whatever. How do I don't want to prevent him from going to mass, but at the same time,
I don't want to engage him in sin.
Okay.
How would you engage in sin?
Well, like, the social activities that we plan, he wants to have more involved with drinking and things like that. And I, you know, I don't, like, I.
No, so look, I'm really sorry for the situation that you're in, and I'm really glad that you are getting professional help for this. But I want to encourage you here that, you know, when he punishes you, quote unquote, by not going to church, that's not your responsibility. That's his choice. Your job is to stand up for what is healthy and what is good, what is true. And invite him to be part of a healthy Christian relationship by planning healthy activities, by doing healthy things, by setting healthy boundaries with him. And those boundaries will invite him to be a healthy person if he chooses, right? So you set an activity for the family to go and do something. He doesn't want to go do it. Well, he refuses the invitation that you're giving him to be a healthy, godly man. That's not your fault. You're inviting him. Hey, be a husband and father. Be a good and godly man. Show up for the family. And he says, no, thank you. That's not your fault. That's his choice to love the alcohol more than he loves you. Be honest, you know, I mean, yes, it is. I mean, you're using a technical term for alcohol abuse, alcohol use disorder. But the fact is, he's an alcoholic. And even when he's not drinking, he has an alcoholic mindset. And an alcoholic mindset basically says that he doesn't have to take responsibility for anything. His whole orientation is running away from responsibility. That's what an alcoholic does. In fact, the reason that alcoholism is so difficult to treat is because for the alcoholic, alcohol is the solution. It's just a problem for everybody else, right? So for him, he deals with life by trying to run away, and when he can't run away enough consciously, he runs away by making himself unconscious with alcohol. That's the solution that he's found. And trying to take away his solution makes him angry. And so alcoholism is a problem for everybody else except the alcoholic, which is why they tend to have to hit rock bottom before they'll get help. So the more boundaries you set, the more you invite him to be a healthy man, and the more he chooses to alienate himself because you've set those boundaries, the better it actually is in some ways, because it leads him to hit rock bottom sooner. And you know, he could also choose to do the healthy thing.
Every single day, he can choose to do a healthier thing. But I want to reinforce one more time. He's not only battling alcohol. He's battling the whole mindset around it. And I've known so many wives, both professionally and personally, who think, he's not drunk today. That means he's sober. He's fine. It is a mindset.
Well, they call it being a dry drunk. A dry drunk is somebody who isn't actively drinking or actively high or actively, you know,
even
inebriated.
In the moment. Right. That can be for a year or longer, or that can be a couple of days a week.
But they're still, their orientation is still ordered to escape, right, and irresponsibility. So you, by you setting boundaries, you are not doing anything except inviting him to a healthier life. And it's his choice to go from there. I'm glad. I follow this up with your counselor. By all means, download the podcast so that you can kind of continue to pray and reflect on this. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach back out here on More to Life or through CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about setting boundaries on our show titled Don't Tread on Me. How can you be a healthy, good, loving, charitable, generous Christian person and still set boundaries with people, especially the people that are stepping all over you or being thoughtless, unkind, or disrespectful? We're here to help. 877-573-7825.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
That was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, The Kevin Matthews Story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Don't Tread on Me. We're talking about those times when we are tired of being a doormat. And joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here. Thanks.
So when you're working with a client and they say, you know I need to set some boundaries here, but I just feel really guilty about it, how do you help them?
Well, I think it's important to look to Christ as the main sort of icon for how we as Catholics are meant to set boundaries. You know, oftentimes boundaries are misrepresented in pop culture as just a no. As just a wall that we place and we say, I'm not going to do that thing, I'm not going to talk about that thing, and that's a boundary. And that's really a corruption of what boundaries really are. Right? Boundaries, though, are what Christ describes when he, you know, describes himself as the narrow gate. He says, you know, you must enter through the narrow gate to have access to the Father. And the implication here is you're not going to take the big wide gates on either side, you're not going to climb up over the wall, right? You're not going to dig under the wall. That you are being granted access, in this case to the Father, but only via a very specific and narrow means, right? And that's exactly what a boundary actually is. It's saying, I will give you access to me or to discussing blank topic with me or to doing blank activity with me or whatever the case may be. But it will be under these parameters. It will be under this through this narrow gate. And that's a very different thing than sort of setting up just a blank no, kind of a wall for people that's totally impenetrable, that under no circumstances will let you ever do or talk about the thing, whatever the thing is. But it's also very different than the way we as Christians often interpret that we should just let everybody do everything they want around us. We're called to be like Christ, and that means setting up narrow gates for people to respectfully access us via, you know, dignified discourse that serves everyone's good.
You know, and I want to point out here, even that idea of the narrow gate is merciful, because, you know, the narrow gate, or the eye of the needle, it was actually a gate in Jerusalem that people could access the city after the city gates were closed at night. But because they were narrow, you had to put down all your stuff, and you could just walk through by yourself. You couldn't bring your camel through. You couldn't bring
your
stuff
weapons.
Through or your weapons
yeah.
through. You could just go through yourself. And so when Jesus says, you can enter heaven through the narrow gate, he's saying, put down all the other stuff so that your arms are open to receive God's love. He's not saying, I don't want you to come. You know, I don't want you to bring your things or, you know, keep whatever, make it difficult for you. I want you to come so that your arms are open to receive all that I have to give you. And healthy boundaries do exactly that. You know, put down all the stuff that's hurtful, that's a distraction, that gets in the way, so that we can love each other fully and hold each other totally the way we're called to.
Very well said.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that image, because, of course, it reminds us that we can be just like Christ. That's what we're called to be. And setting boundaries is an important part of that. If folks would like to learn more about Jacob's good work and all the work we do at CatholicCounselors.com, I hope you'll visit us at CatholicCounselors.com and check out all the resources we have for you there. With that, we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Don't Tread on Me, as we talk about setting boundaries in situations where we do feel a little like we're being tread on and treated like a doormat. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Anxiety is such a commonplace experience that we often feel like there's something wrong with us when we aren't feeling anxious. We wonder what new threat to our security or peace we're missing. But how do you know whether you're experiencing normal garden variety stress and anxiety, or whether you're struggling with something more serious? Has anxiety become a regular part of your life? Does it impact your performance at work, or make it harder to enjoy your relationships, or prevent you from having the energy to do the things you used to enjoy? These are good signs it's time to seek professional help. People often wait years before getting appropriate counseling help, and by then the problem's been allowed to grow into something that's having a serious impact on your life, career, and relationships. Anxiety is very treatable, and a vast majority of people who seek help get better. If you're ready to win your battle against anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Don't Tread on Me. Are you tired of being treated like a doormat by somebody in your life? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you set those charitable boundaries that let you still be generous to others without being taken advantage of, disrespected, or mistreated. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next call, we want to send congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, KDMI 97.5 FM, serving Canton, Texas, is celebrating 10 years with us.
Woo-hoo! Congratulations to Ken Mings and everyone at St. Therese Catholic Church from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well, as best you can, so that we can keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, because we want to keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. So thanks to Ken Mings and everybody at St. Therese Catholic Radio and everybody who makes EWTN radio possible, including you, the listener. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Don't Tread on Me, as we talk about setting healthy, charitable boundaries as Christians. What does that look like? How can we be generous to others but prevent ourselves from being mistreated, treated like a doormat, or otherwise disrespected? Are we allowed to set boundaries? What does it look like? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
All right, listener prefers to remain anonymous. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you, Greg and Lisa, for having me on. It's kind of hard to sum this all up in a nutshell, but I'll try. So my husband and I have a situation where our daughter and her husband are planning on moving back to our state and want to live with us for an unstated amount of time. They have a toddler. They've lived with us before, and we've helped take care of them and the grandchild, cook meals. And our son-in-law is very domineering, and it's just been difficult. We're very happy to have them the first few times. This time, we're feeling a lot of stress about it. Watching them with their disagreements.
And you said it's affecting your marriage. You told our screener that it was affecting your marriage. How is it coming between you and your husband?
We have a good marriage. We do have a good marriage, but there have been moments that we've been, while they were here, there was stress and we were having arguments. Now that they're not here, we get along great. So,
okay. So what kind of boundaries would you like to set and what's stopping you?
I'd like us... I think my husband probably more than just me, because I've tried to deal with my son-in-law. But I feel that we need to have a conversation about a time frame or not at all. The rest of my children do not want them to come back. They're kind of adamant about that.
They really cause stress, not just between you and your husband when they're under your roof, but in the family in general, it's an uncomfortable situation. Yeah. Is it impossible to say, hey, let's find you a rental place somewhere instead of you coming right here? Like, what can we do to find that
for places? I've actually done that. I've done some groundwork, and my daughter says that that's there. I think that some of the goal here is saving money or a down payment for a house, because homes are so expensive these days. That sort of.
Well, but the problem is that I think the issue isn't even how long they would stay with you. The problem is that of who they are.
Yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. It's. I mean, whether they were there a week or 10 years, the problem's the same. That they don't have the skills to get along well with each other. Your son-in-law is a difficult person, and she doesn't know how to set boundaries with him. They don't know how to communicate exactly. In a way that doesn't poison everybody around them. I think that you want to make that the issue, right? And be able to say, look, I love you with all of my heart. I would love to have you be able to live with us, but you guys you don't have the skills to get along with each other, and the tension that you create spreads to everybody around you. And I would love it to be able to accommodate you and have you live with us, but you need to get the skills to have a healthier marriage before you'd be able to be with us. And so at best, you're going to have to have an apartment, because, you know, we can't have you being here and acting like you do. I mean, if you were getting help, you know, and at some point, you know, you guys got to a better place and you needed to live with us, that would be okay. But because you guys are the way you are and you act the way you do and you're not getting the help that you need to be better, I can't let you be here. And that breaks my heart, but it's the way it is. And the thing about that, okay, I mean, I realize that that's going to feel awful as your daughter's mom. But what that boundary does is it says, I love you too much for you to keep living like that.
Yeah.
You know,
you're enabling her husband to treat her badly and to be the, as you put it, the domineering person that he is, not to just to your daughter, but apparently to others, since your whole family is feeling this way. And on top of that, it's not calling either of you to prioritize your marriage, sacrament of your marriage.
Go back to what we said at the beginning of the theology of the body reflection we gave that set sort of the tone for the show, right? That boundaries, you know, right, call the offender to repent, and in the case of the offended, empower us to stand up for what's true and what's just and what's loving. And that's what this boundary would do, you know, right? You're zeroing in on the exact problem. So I would love for you to be able to be here, but the fact is, the way you guys live isn't healthy for you, and it kind of poisons the atmosphere for everybody that's around you guys. I hate saying that, but it's true, and I love you too much to not say it, and because of that, I can't have you living with us. So if you can get the help that you need, and we'll help you in whatever way we can with that, but if you can get the help that you need and get to a different place in your relationship that you could be here, we'd love to have you come back if that's a possibility. But I can't let you come here and continue being the way you guys are. So the best I can do is help you find an apartment.
And truly, you have to remember that your priority, especially now with all adult children, is your marriage, the sacrament of your marriage. And if this depletes the two of you to the point where you are not treating each other with love, respect, courtesy, and cherishing each other, then it can't be happening. These are adult people who, yes, we always try to help out our adult children if they're struggling. It's a tough time to live in, but not to the detriment of the sacrament of your marriage.
And just saying to them, look, you have to be, you know, you can stay here, but you have to be out in a month or 2 months or 6 months.
It'll never happen.
In the first place, it won't happen. And in the second place, it's avoiding the real issue. So I think that as challenging as it might be, the only charitable thing to really do here is to zero in on the actual problem. You guys need skills, and you need help, and we can't allow you to be the way you are in our house, because it's not healthy for you, and it just poisons the atmosphere for everybody else, too. So please, you know, get the help that you need to be in a better place so that we can be closer. And if you do need us, you can come back and move in. We'd be happy to help then. But in this case, the best we can do is have you around us, have you near us, but not have you living with us. All right. Thank you so much for the call. I hope that will help give you some clarity and some things to pray about together. If you need more personalized support, kind of walking through this, kind of getting on the same page with your husband, figuring out how to set these boundaries, having a kind of a longer term plan, and you're looking for some faithful support to make that happen, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd be happy to coach you through the rest of that.
And I strongly can, you know, encourage you to do something along that line and really be talking with and praying with your husband. Not only on the will they, won't they live with us, but also if they're coming back to the state, how do we as a couple take care of each other, respect each other, even when things get tense, if we have to see them for dinner somewhere, if they're over for an extended period of time, if stuff begins to get complicated between them and our other children, really talking through together and praying through together, how are we going to take care of each other and ourselves as a married couple in the midst of the tension they are bringing back. Avoiding that conversation is just throwing you into the deep end, and you have to handle it when both of you are having elevated emotional temperatures because your daughter and her family are there. You want to be having these conversations and prayer about it all the way leading up, so you guys go in with a good plan and having each other's back.
Thank you so much for the call. We do talk about this more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Us Nuts, or God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Again, that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com as wherever books are sold. Plus, you can learn more about our Catholic counseling resources at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, let's go to our next caller, Lisa, who's on deck.
We're talking now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Sarah, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
So we've got our oldest son is almost 27, and he was recently fired from his job. That was Friday morning, and he's been drinking for 3 days straight, slinging hateful terms to my husband and I, mostly.
Is he living with you guys?
Some things that he is not, but we've been monitoring him, mainly me, because my husband is afraid what he'll do if he comes into the picture. Most of his hate is being aimed at my husband.
So wait a minute. Your son lost his job, has been drinking heavily since Friday, and is throwing hate at you and your husband. You and your husband didn't get him fired. So what's the deal here?
He is, that's where he is aiming his anger of the fact that he got fired.
Okay, so how is he managing to direct this at you? Like where is he in, like, geographically? You know, like, you say he's not living with you. So how do you, you know?
He lives in the same town that we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's heavy stuff. There were some suicidal threats. Did call the cops Saturday night.
Good. Okay, good.
They came, and he flipped a switch and was, like, hanging with the guys. Hey, guys, how's it going? Mm-hmm. It's really not that bad, you know. And I said, well, you're telling me that, you know, there were things in his childhood that were not good.
Well, that may be, but this is there's a more pressing issue right now, right? So that he might need to deal with all that stuff. But right now, the issue is that he's on a 3-day bender and he's threatening you and your husband. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to do about that? If you were to set a boundary with him, what would it be, and what's stopping you?
Right now, he is sleeping it off. We have taken away keys, wallet. Good. Access to go buy more alcohol. So when I check on him and he's sleeping, and thing is I'm going to be honest, he lives with his girlfriend. We'll try one thing at a time here, but she is not sleeping. Lives with his brother, who has taken on all of this responsibility over the weekend, concerned about their well-being.
So he and the girlfriend and his own brother all live in the same place?
They do. Mm-hmm. It's a big house.
But what I'm asking is, what boundary would you like to set, and what's stopping you?
Just to know he's safe. I want to help him find a different job. I don't know.
You really can't do that. He's got to be the one to do that. The only thing you can do is really say, look, I love you and you can be around me if you're sober, and you can't if you're not. And if you, you know, and I want you to go to start going, I want you to start going to Alcoholics Anonymous. I want you to get some professional help. Here are some names of some people in the area that you could talk to. You need to get yourself straightened out. And I love you, but you can be around me if you're sober and if you're making healthy choices, but you can't be around us if you're not. And because right now, I mean, there's a crisis, right? And he was threatening to hurt himself, and you did the right thing by calling the police and having them do a wellness check. If he threatens you or them again, or himself again, you call the cops again. But the best thing that you can really do is say, look, I can be here to help you put your stuff together again if you have a plan. But Sarah, from both a psychological standpoint and from a Catholic social justice standpoint, you got to be careful here, because he and this is true of anybody who's an addict or an alcoholic of any kind. He wants everybody to work harder on his problems than he is. There's a principle in Catholic social teaching called subsidiarity, which is that the person who's closest to the problem has to have the greatest responsibility for the problem, which does not leave us off the hook for helping. What it does is it orders the helping we give to make sure that it's actually helpful. Because if you start working harder on somebody else's problem than they are, they never work on it. They just sort of hang back, and that's what he's hoping as an alcoholic, right? He's or even just somebody who's abusing alcohol, if you don't think he's a full-blown alcoholic. Either way, he's saying, I don't want to handle my life, you handle it for me. And if you do that, then he just becomes even more paralyzed and more dependent on
and more escape. Angry, because as much as you're trying to help him, and I know your maternal instinct is to help him, he is going to feel emasculated and disempowered
and undermined, right?
And there's nothing that's going to give him that stepwise success feeling that it'll allow him to build upon it to get his life together.
So the more you try to help him, the angrier he gets at you and the more disabled he becomes, right? So that, again, that's not to say don't help him. That is to say you need to see him taking the lead. You can say to him, look, I am willing to help you get a job if I see you putting your resume together and, you know, making some application. I'd be happy to look over your resume. I'd be happy to, take you to an interview since, you know, if he needs a ride or, you know, those kinds of things. But he has to have the plan. You can't be the one looking on the internet and saying, oh, look, there's this job here. Or there's that job there. You apply for this. You apply for that. He has to do that. And if he has a hard time making the, you know, closing the gap between the effort he's making and the solution he's seeking, you can provide some help to close that gap. But he has to make the effort. You know, you can say, I need you to call this person or I need you to contact that person for help or whatever. But he's the one who has to do that. And you can say to him, look, I can be around you if you're making healthy choices and you're sober, but I can't if you're not. But I want to be here for you and I want to help you, but I have to see you doing something good and something healthy and something appropriate, and then I can step in to help you close the gap. But you have to be very careful to be prepared to work hard to help him, but not harder than he is, because that becomes enabling. And it actually causes more problems than it solves for everybody. I hope that I'm so sorry that you guys are going through this. And we're going to add you to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more that we can do to support you through this, I hope that you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com.
Because it feels very heavy as a parent to not be able to help the way we want to.
But I do hope that these suggestions we've made on the air will help kind of order your thinking about this and help you pray about it in a little different way. With that, we have to go to break. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6.
Better is open rebuke than a love that remains hidden. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses.
Now, this is a really interesting verse, because what it's saying here is better an open rebuke than a love that remains hidden. In other words, that open rebuke is loving.
Is loving, yeah, working for your good.
Right?
Yeah.
Because wounds from a friend can be trusted. If a friend loves you and they say something that hurts your feelings, they're more 9 times out of 10 trying to work for your good. But the person who just placates you and says what you want to hear,
how wonderful you are and how right you are all the time,
and you're perfect just the way you are, that person is actually an enemy, not a friend of love. Powerful and very profound verse. Lots to unpack there in two simple sentences. But I hope that it supports everything that we've been talking about on the show and really give you a way to think differently about Setting Boundaries, which we'll continue talking with you about when More to Life continues after the break. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Don't Tread on Me, as we talk about how Christians can set healthy, charitable boundaries. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Rose, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Hi, Rose. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning, and first-time caller, and wonderful. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Of course. And, what's up?
Yes. So I have a complex situation.
Let me summarize what you told our screener, because we've only got about two minutes before they play us out. So you said you're taking care of your mom. Your older brother is taking advantage of her, taking her money and blocking you from her phone and making her believe that you're a terrible person. So how can we help you in navigate all that?
Well, the thing is that he's coming between my relationship with my mom, and he's doing that to everybody else's, not only my phone, but my other sister's numbers. But he, I've been taking care of my mom, and he came back. He does drugs. He drinks.
So let me ask you, you're saying that he's the problem, but your mom is the one who's enabling him to do this. So what boundaries do you need to set with your mom about this?
Well, see, every time I try to, because police have been called because he's hit me before, and he tried almost to kill my mom, and my sisters and I were like, "Mom, you need to call the cops, because when they come, she always takes a side, and it's so heartbreaking because I love my mother and I don't want nothing to happen to her, but when they get there, I don't know, for whatever reason,
is she mentally incapacitated in any way?"
Well, she's starting to lose her eyesight, and my older brother's taking advantage of that and he's using
okay.
her.
Here's what I want you to do, and I'm jumping in because I've only got 30 seconds. I want you to contact Elder Services in your county, all right? So in the Department of Human Services in your county, they don't just have children's services. They have elder services as well. And a social worker can come and make an evaluation of the situation and make some recommendations. You also want to talk with an attorney who specializes in elder care to see what legally you can do to perhaps get her power of attorney, which would enable you to make decisions in her stead if she's experienced any kind of physical or mental disability, or if she's in danger because of this brother. Clearly she is. So I want you to follow up with an attorney who specializes in elder law, and I want you to contact your Department of Human Services locally in the county to find out about their elder services department and have an evaluation done here. Because unless your mom gives you the power to intervene, there's nothing you can do except be a bystander, which is a terrible place for you to be. But it's really up to making those things happen that would give you the legal right to step in and manage her affairs for her. Thank you for the call. We've added your family to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, Rose, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm sorry that we didn't have more time, but these suggestions will definitely get you started. And folks, if you're looking for more support in setting healthy boundaries in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.